Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakuri, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother 0457140550. And our Facebook page is up, BBM 987 FM. And go across the nation thanks to NIRS, your mob. Big shout out to Alicia. Big shout out, my sister. Join the Navy. We trust you with a rifle. You too, deadly, my sister. And in communication, big ways, in more ways than one. So catch up and have a yarn with her very soon. Loan there, sister, loan. Having a deadly yarn here on National Talk Black. Like to acknowledge all the traditional owners across this beautiful nation of ours and respecting the local traditional owners here in Cairns, Bumabrip Media, and how we do our work and acknowledge the traditional owners standing strong for all our First Nation people in this country. Have you saying yarn up strong, yarn with the ball, you on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakuri, and I'm taking right through 12 noon Queensland time. Just started the show, so plenty of time for you, mob, have you say, and yarn up strong, by all means, please do that. Now, too many Australian men are missing out on sufficient health care when they're unable to conceive, have lost a pregnancy or child, or are struggling with parenthood. Research by a leading men's health organisation has found a healthy male survey of 367 men who tried to father a child or had fathered a child revealed 43% felt the health system failed to engage, support and inform them along the way. While reproductive health services understandably focus on mothers and babies, many men said they were treated as secondary to fertility, birthing and parenting processes. Welcome, but not active partners. Some said they felt invisible, excluded, and like second-class parents when navigating the health system during this time. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Simon von Selden, Health Male CEO, and talk about isolated and excluded. And 350 men told them how they felt to become father. On the line, Simon, very good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks, Trevor. Not as good as you, though. I'm in Melbourne, so I'm very jealous of you at the moment.
Yes, my friend. And look, they say a local call to heaven from up this way. And look, I'm excited to be here. But thinking of you guys in Victoria and the world that we live in at the moment. And look, the saying is there is no vaccine for the virus. And the only vaccine we got is the rules that are in place. And we need to abide by them, don't we?
Absolutely. And but look, you know, I think one of the things that's come out of it is your mob should be really proud in terms of the way that you've handled it and addressed it as a community. It's absolute hats off to you. It's just you've done an amazing job.
Well, exactly. And also extending that to the First Nation communities and all the mayors and the work that they've done in regarding looking after our elders, and even ask some of the elders in the communities to go out to further stations when the pandemic was upon us, you know. And, yeah, we've done a fantastic job. Hats off to them all, and Queensland did a great job.
Yeah, absolutely. And it has been a difficult time for everyone, I think.
Exactly.
Especially, though, when we, you know, looking at, I suppose, the topic at hand, fathers, it hasn't made it any easier either.
Mm.
So this sort of process for us looking at fathers, we started this about a year ago.
Yep.
It came out of the back of the National Men's Health Strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we really saw that fathers just weren't part of the picture when it came to everything from sort of before.
Well, which is sad. It takes two people to make a baby. You know what I mean?
And
they got 50% in the deal, you know?
Yeah. And you're dead right there, Trevor. It's like, and it actually, to make the baby is where it all starts.
Exactly.
And so most fellas don't understand that actually it's 3 months before you start trying to have a baby that you've got to be at your best, because when you produce sperm, it actually starts being made in your body 3 months prior.
Okay, yes.
So that means that you've got to be, if you want this baby to be as healthy as possible, you need to give it the best chance.
Mm.
And so you're going to be as healthy as you can be.
And that's the man doing his job, isn't it?
Exactly. And that's the bit that we can do. And we need to do better because most of us don't know that.
Sure.
Because we're not taught it. No one tells us.
Sure.
So that's when it starts. Then we get into, okay, so your partner becomes pregnant. And it's kind of like in the past, we've sat there and been sort of passengers.
So with conversations in regard to the male survey, 367-odd men, you feel that the reproductive health service could do more in this department, this area?
Yeah. Yes. And look, and I suppose I want to make it really clear, Trevor, is that we're not trying to beat up the health system. We think it rightly is structured so that really focuses on the mother and the baby because that's really important.
Well, the old phrase, we don't have to be sick to get better. So we can all do better in all areas, yes?
Yep, absolutely. But the thing we've found is that there's so many fathers that just want to be more involved.
Yeah.
They want to know what's happening. They want to know what they can do. And I had a fella actually say to me, he said, look, I understand that my role was to look after my partner and support my partner, but no one was looking after me.
Oh, good point.
Mm. Yeah, and it really is. And so there's got to be a safe space for all fellas.
Well, if you're becoming a parent for the first time, a father, I mean, that could be daunting for some men, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm about to look after precious cargo here, a pet human being. What do I do? How do I do this? And the emotional part of it as well.
And it's crazy when you think of it that we go through, like, you know, you want to learn how to drive a car, you've got to go and get a license.
Exactly.
No one says you've got to go through any sort of process to become a dad.
No, there's no manual as such, is there?
Nope, but there is a lot of knowledge out there.
And support.
And
they need to be at the table.
And so there's some good stuff out there already. There's things like, we know that there's been some yarning circles running up your way.
Yes.
And Deadly Dads is a fabulous program.
Yes.
So what we found, though, is that there's these really good programs happening at that level. But the system still... Mm. So, for example, if a woman goes to hospital, then quite often, especially if they're from a rural or regional area, so, they're with one of your mobs out in the bush or in the country, they're all of a sudden sent off to a town with a hospital and they're taken away from family.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is... That's so tough.
So there's no culture at the table when this happens.
Exactly.
Disengagement.
So that has to be changed, and there are better ways of doing things that we've actually got to go, hang on. And we've got to be in charge. We've got to say, hang on, we want to run this. We want to do this. And that's where you fellows are really good at actually saying, hang on, we want to run this.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think you've proven through this whole COVID thing that you've got the nous and the ability and the capability of actually making things stick and work.
Exactly, So what you're saying is, Simon, you're saying that the so-called services, whether it be private or government, they need to engage with the community and find out what's happening out there in regard to the to our men. Like you said, Deadly Dads and all the different men's group and what have you, they don't have to be like, at the table as in, well, nurses, as in female nurses, what have you, female doctors, but engage, knowing what's happening and then have that at the table to promote for the father to be, that there are support there and we know all about them and, get educated on what's out there in the community at grassroots level, yes.
Well, and it's... especially, like, we've had some really interesting conversations with a number of people, and one fella told me, he said, look, the thing that gets missed a lot of the time is that one size doesn't fit all in the Indigenous landscape.
Mm.
And so you've got to be aware of that, which is why there's a thing that they call in health co-design. And basically it just means that if you're going to build a system, you've got to talk to the people who are going to use it. You've got to design it with them.
Well, exactly, co-design, that's right, exactly.
Exactly.
Well, you're building a system for the people, so the people need to know, need to have input to the so-called system.
Exactly, exactly. Because they're the ones who'll tell you what's going to work and not work, rather than you go down the road of having a whole lot of people sit around a table, think it's the best thing since sliced bread, and then put it out there and go,
doesn't fit, doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. You know, we talk about common sense, eh?
Yeah. The stuff we're trying to do, Trevor, though, is, and actually a fella up your way said this to me. He said, look, this is bigger than men's and women's business. This is actually about our children.
Well, true, exactly.
So we have to look at, okay, how do we create something that's best for them? But there's also areas, like for those men who have sadly suffered loss through miscarriage or stillbirth, there needs to be more support for them because
that's true.
At the moment,
yes.
Yeah, it's very focused again. And again, we don't want to take this away from the women.
No.
There's got to be focus on the women, but there has to be something there for the blokes.
Exactly.
I mean, there just has to be.
Exactly.
So we know that 1 in 20 men get anxiety or depression during pregnancy. And we know that 1 in 10 men get postnatal depression.
Okay.
Yet there's not really any...
I didn't know that, Simon, but that's out there, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's lots of services, again, for women for that process and to help them through it. But no one... I mean, I was talking to an Indigenous fellow down Tassie, and he was telling me that about 18 months after the birth of his firstborn, he actually realised, because his wife had postnatal depression, and he realised, he basically took himself off to his doctor, and he said, this is the way I feel. Do I have postnatal depression? He'd never heard of it in men before.
Sure.
Like, he actually literally worked it out for himself.
Well, postnatal depression, it always leans towards the woman, the mother. Yes.
Yeah. But do you think you've just had this new little baby come into your life as a fella, and of course it's going to
take it away from you
in different ways.
Exactly.
It's like...
Well, that's a party, you know, like, and the man, we're talking about a warrior of the 21st century, leading from the front. Well, am I a failure? You know what I mean? There you go.
Yeah, because everyone tells you, you're supposed to feel certain things, and what if you don't straight away? And so you think you're failing. You don't think, hang on, this is normal. Because it actually is. Like, there's a whole lot of things that happen that are normal that no one talks about. That's where Yarning Circles and Deadly Dads are so good, because they actually get fellas to sit around and talk about it, and it's like there's no shame.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, you actually realise there's a lot of strength in your fellow men who have learnt and share that knowledge.
Yes, exactly. So what you're saying is, a very important conversation here, letting all our brothers know out there, all men, that there is support for you, and we need to direct them to the men's group, the Deadly Dads, and also the health services and government organisation services need to know that what's out there as well. We need to have that, build the bridges, have the communication there so we know what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Never think you're alone.
Thank you.
Because you know what? You've just got to look at one of your brothers.
Yep.
And ask the question. Because you know what? There's knowledge everywhere, and you guys know that so well. There's knowledge everywhere around you. You've had it for hundreds of thousands of years.
Yes, Simon. Thank you.
And you share it so well. So don't let this one thing that's so important not be another area where you share knowledge.
Yeah, beautiful. Look, very important conversation. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you. And now, Health Male CEO, the name of your organisation?
Healthy Male, we used to be called Andrology Australia. No one knows what the hell that means.
Hello, so broke my jaw trying to pronounce it. Healthy Male, okay, beautiful. And your Facebook page and everything, and web page?
Healthymale.org.au. We've got a document up there at the moment if anyone wants to have a look, called The Case for Change. We've called this thing Plus Paternal, which is basically saying Plus Fathers.
Yes.
We've had some really great feedback and great...
You would have had great response and would have had arms open from different health organisations as well as government organisations to say, yes, fantastic.
Yeah, look, it's actually interesting, Trevor. Like, we've had 25 other organisations who have been predominantly female-based and female-focused, coming in and endorse what we're doing because they see there's such a need for it.
Yes.
That's been really great, I think, to see that.
Yes.
Look, we're lucky enough. We've got a fabulous group of Indigenous Knowledge Bank. Actually, one of your fellows up there, Mark Wenatong, is
yes,
on it.
Yes, Dr. Mark, beautiful, yep.
Yes, yep, fabulous guy. We've got Jack Bullman, another one who gave us a lot of input with Mimbana Spirit Healing for this project alone. So we're really fortunate. Mick Adams, you know, lots of really knowledgeable men who have given us such insightful feedback and just making sure we're not sort of, because we don't want to put words in people's mouths.
No, we don't. Well, we need to rise, need to get it together. Fantastic for sharing with you, Simon. All the best to you and your deadly team. And keep in touch, and to all our brothers out there, stay strong.
Thanks, Trevor. You take care, and thanks for having me on.
We'll talk soon, Simon. Bye, mate.
Okay. Bye-bye.
A deadly yarn there, Simon. Von Sulden, his name is. Healthy male CEO. And talking about 350-odd men in the survey, isolated and excluded, and were told how they felt in regard to becoming fathers. So very important conversation, and sometimes left out in the dark. Have your say, yarn up strong. Add to the conversation, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarning with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live here at the house of the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM, Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give me a call and have your say, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Head of Impact at HESTA, Mary Delahunty, and talk about the outlines, investors' expectations for how companies engage with Indigenous communities and manage heritage protection. On the line, Mary, very good morning, sister. How are you?
Good morning. I'm really well. How are you, Sunny Cairns?
I'm well. Yes, Sunny Cairns. Thank you. You're in Victoria, I believe?
Yes, we are.
And thinking of you guys and lockdown and the world that we're living in at the moment. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about the, outlines investors' expectation for how companies engage with Indigenous community and manage heritage protection. Look, what comes to mind is the Juncan George Gorge Caves and how, the concerns and risks that are appropriately managed after the destruction.
Yeah. It's a bit of a mouthful for really what we're looking at is HESTA is a investor in Australia. We've got about 860,000 members drawn from the health and community services sector. We manage $54 billion of their retirement savings. So we've got that money spread across a number of Australian companies. And we were pretty shocked, as I'm sure everyone was, with the actions of Rio in the Juncan Gorge. Shocked, but also we saw this enormous potential opportunity to make sure that none of the other companies that HESTA members' money was exposed to would face a similar risk. And so that's what we're focusing on now. We think that Rio's got some, we've got a lot more questions for how that went on. Don't you worry about that.
Exactly.
And we'll get to that.
Yep.
But we've also got to have a look across the rest of the portfolio and figure out how we can make sure that doesn't happen again. What were the systemic risks? You know, and what were the warning signs? And I think it comes down to how seriously do companies in Australia, especially those mining and extraction companies, how seriously do they take their relationships with the Indigenous people on whose lands they are seeking to...
Well, exactly. Well, we as First Nation people, we feel as though like it's care factor zero and money is the god, you know, and it's disheartening, it's frustrating, and it makes us angry.
Yeah, I know. I imagine it would. And I think what we saw with Rio, pleasingly from the reaction from all of Australia, was that was something we couldn't put up with. And so... maybe the tide is turning, maybe it's more attention on these sort of activities, but I think everyone should take some heart from the fact that was a line in the sand,
exactly,
literally, as to what we will put up with. This is, I think Australians are very lucky to have this sort of, what would you call it, it's almost a stewardship of the oldest living culture.
So well, exactly. Well, the example that elders have talked about is going to Egypt with raiders and loaders and pulling down the pyramids and see, you know, that's another description. Exactly.
The world would
exactly.
be on their knees. And so, yeah, and this country deserves nothing less than some answers
True.
About that. Absolutely.
Good.
And then we've got to look at what our responsibility is more broadly. So we've come up with this sort of set of principles, and we've written to the 14 companies in our portfolio that we think might they have similar operations.
Yep.
So we wonder about how they're actually taking these risks seriously, and we're going to go systematically through, meet with them, figure out whether or not, you know, has the board got the right oversight of what's going on?
Sure. Has HESTA got the authority to look at the so-called plan of attack or the communication, the agreement as such with TOs, traditional owners?
Sometimes we're concerned about the use of confidentiality agreements in these sort of areas. And,
exactly.
And we come across this in a lot of areas of business. When you're trying to assess, you know, risks and the systemic approach to risk, you want to make sure that confidentiality agreements are used for the right reasons. Mm. And sometimes they can protect commercial interests from both sides, but they don't always need to be as broad as what they claim to be.
Exactly.
And we do, as owners, we do have the authority, and I think we almost have the obligation to check on those risks, because we want to make sure that these companies are delivering value in the long term.
Mary, the other thing that comes to mind is so-called the agreement with the traditional owners and how solid that agreement is and how passionate and careful they are with it. And because in regards to if they're knocking down the so-called Juncan Caves in this case, and so there's a compensation of monetary, which is pittance compared to how much money they're going to make thereafter, you know, it becomes a clayton deal, so to speak, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Also, going into agreements, we're really concerned that the recognition of a power imbalance doesn't seem to be taken seriously. So you can't really make an agreement and believe it to be one of authenticity and believe it to be struck truthfully if there is no recognition of the power imbalance as to who's making that agreement.
Look, we're appreciating what Hester's doing, which is fantastic. It's sad the horse already bolted for Jungan Gorge Caves, but for protecting First Nations land and sea country in that regard, that needs to be done from front and centre and all the way through from here on, written in blood, so to speak.
Absolutely, and we do our best, and we're happy to hear from people if they've got some ideas as to where we should be looking, but we want to make sure that this doesn't happen again, not on our watch, not on our time.
Mm. Thank you so very much, Mary, for the conversation, very important conversation, and we'll be in touch, and please keep First Nation media at the table as well. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Happy to speak. See you.
Bye, Mary. Mary Delahunty, her name is, Head of Impact at Hester. And look, Hester, well, the CEO of Hester is Debbie Blakely, said that the $52 million industry super fund had informed the companies. Hester's embarking on a direct engagement program on this issue, so which is very important. I mean, like, so the horse already bolted regarding Jungan Gorge Caves and the destruction of it. So very sad. Mining companies need to be talked to very carefully and seriously about the situation on the so-called agreement. Have your say, Yana Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Call the number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbibrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give me a call, 1-800-422-416.
For 200 years we've been beaten down, too long on the door. My dignity I'm losing here, and mentally I'm on. There's a system here that nails us, and we're left out in the cold. Oh, they took our life and liberty friends, but they could not buy our soul. Joe Hill died, Che Guevara fought, Pama Woy lay down dead. If a person speaks out critically here, they could get loaded down with lead. How long can the majority wait for their story to unfold? Oh, they took their life and liberty friends, but they could not buy their soul. Well, the clever man spoke precisely, humanity said was done. The creed for greed could not proceed if our struggles to be won. For humanity is more important here than a constant quest for gold. Ah, you may take life and liberty friends, but you cannot buy our soul. One morning, rode a donkey up through that gate. He could see quite clearly he was going to meet his fate. And the powers that be could see that he could not be bought or sold. Ah, they took his life and liberty friends, but they could not buy his soul. Yeah, they took his life and liberty friends, but they could not buy his soul.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I need, I remember the day.
You might find me on the back roads of the Kimberley. You might see me making campfires by the creek. Well, don't you worry if I'm walking alone, I'll be home in a
across the old river another side. Where they sang their trouble songs and danced through the night until the early morning light.
For the best people, news and issues, tune into National Talk Black. Monday to Friday, 11 to 12 on BBM 98.7 FM.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BBM Bumabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can give us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, artists reflect on sovereignty and memory in Second Terra Infirma exhibition. Blacktown Arts announces the launch of the Terra Infirma Sovereignty and Memory, the second exhibition in the Terra Infirma series, exploring country, landscape, sovereignty, memory, trauma and identity. And so artists and works feature included, I'll mention a few, Alex Byrne and Dean Cross and Brian Fuata, also Judy Watson. I've got Judy on the line now. Judy, very good morning, my sister. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you for coming to the program. Yeah, thank you. Great to have you. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob were. You from Judy?
Okay, I live in Brisbane, but my mob are Wanyi people. Yes. From Northwest Queensland, the Gulf Country.
Fantastic, good connection there. And so, stems back to your grandmother?
My grandmother, Grace Isaacson, she was known originally as Grace Camp, and before that, probably her other name, before that was colonised. She was born in 1912 at Riversleigh Station.
All right, fantastic,
and
beautiful.
And my great-great-grandmother, Rosie, escaped a massacre at Lawn Hill.
Yes.
And various other family members worked on pastoral properties all across the Gulf and into the Northern Territory.
Yes, true. And look, here we have you as an artist. So just quickly go back to how it all started with you regarding art.
Well, I was always interested in art. My mother, Joyce Watson, encouraged me. And I didn't think that I would be able to be an artist and sort of make a living. So I ended up studying English at Literature and Art at Darling Downs, which is now University of Southern Queensland, thinking I could go out and become a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went down to Tassie to study, get away from Joe Bielke Pitt from Queensland at the time, and learn lithography. And ended up teaching at TAFE in Townsville for quite a few years.
Okay.
And later at places like Canberra School of Art and the University of the Northern Territory in Darwin, and in between making artwork. And so I've really just followed my passion and done a lot of other work in between, but art's always been my love.
Okay.
And literature too.
And beautiful. Now, regarding the sovereignty and memory in Second Terra Infirma exhibition, you did a piece, Leaking Shield. Just explain that, please, sister.
Sure. So underneath is a piece of canvas which was possibly used on an army bed, like a trestle bed.
Mm.
And it's got all sorts of stains and cigarette burns through it, and it's had a life. And I was thinking about that life history, and I painted a shield on it. And the shield is from Riversleigh Station, where my grandmother was born. And so it's incorporating, it's almost like inserting our bodies onto that piece of material. And I think about the fact that those soldiers, for example, the main perpetrator of the Coniston massacre came back from Gallipoli as a war hero. And many of those soldiers who fought overseas and, you know, were celebrated came back and inflicted conflict on the very people on whose land they were living. So I think there's a duality in colonisation that we really need to look at.
Yes.
And the shield itself represents resistance and trying to shield people, shelter people.
Mm.
And really, I'm lucky, as I'm sure we all are, contemporary Aboriginal people, that we have survived because somehow one of our family members managed to survive conflict.
Exactly. And art is a tool of telling the story, isn't it? For you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so. And in terms of stories, I mean, I'm really interested in literature and history, and that feeds me in terms of ideas for the work. And so I just follow, whether it's family line stories or things that I read. At the moment, I'm making work about coronavirus and how people are surviving in today's, I guess, viral time of conflict and collision. And everything that I see on the streets or in my garden, things like that just become something that I notice and pick up and think I could use that. So I'm a bit of a recycler.
Sure, which is good. And look, history needs to be told, and we tell stories in history, but it's powerful and spiritual when you're telling your story too.
And I hear you're from the Curry, so I've got...
Murray from the Curry, 1 year Gunga leader, so we've got a connection there, my sister, yes.
Yeah, and also Gordon Hookey is in the studio next to me.
Oh,
he's
good,
from the Curry as well.
Oh, good, okay, there is connection.
Also 1 year
we
back.
Are
yeah.
out there, we are out there in all facets. Look, so fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing. Now, the event, Terror, Infirma and Sovereignty and Memory, is happening from Saturday 5 September to Tuesday 3rd September at the gallery there, and... that's the Leo Kelly Blacktown Arts Centre. Will you be there with the exhibition?
No, I will be staying in Brisbane working in my studio because we've still got border restrictions up. So I hope it goes really well.
Sure.
And I'll look forward to seeing things online.
Yeah.
And I think they've done a great job down there. And that whole history of Blacktown, the Native Institute, Maria Locke, you know, there's so much that you can read about and learn about in terms of the history of people in that place. So, yeah.
Yes. Well, I've always said Australia's got a history, good or bad, black or white, but the history is history, and history needs to be told. And
and
no hiding from it and using it as an escape, so to speak, you know.
And what was your last name?
Trevor Tim. Tim.
Tim, okay, because my auntie was Auntie Faye Timms.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah, but that's Timms, T-I-double. MS, so
double MS, okay.
Yeah,
a bit of connection there, but the fact that you're 1 year girl, I'm 1 year boy, so there is a good connection. Like I said, my sister, that means I can borrow money off you.
and me you.
There you
yeah,
are.
And me Look, you.
A beautiful yarn. Thank you very much. Congratulations with your work. Keep doing what you're doing, my sister. And look, stay safe and stay in touch. We'll talk again, my sister.
Oh, lovely. Okay, great to speak. See you.
Take care, Judy. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there. Judy Watson, her name is, a one-year girl and artist at that, and did a Leek and Shiel reference, Cultural Memory in the Land, and Subtle exposes hidden histories of the Indigenous experience on colonial frontier. That's her piece in the Terra Infirma Sovereignty and Memory, and that event exhibition is opening Saturday 5 September, Tuesday 3rd September, and that's opening from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Leo Kelly Blacktown Arts Centre. It's all your mob down there in country New South Wales. You're not doing nothing. Stay within your own state because of the isolation and shutdown, then we'll go for a drive there to the Leo Kelly Blacktown and check out the Arts Centre there and check out the work. Fantastic. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. Daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trevor Murray from the Curry. And live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, that's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give me a call, let's have a yarn. Too deadly.
Then the kangaroo danced a curly cue, and the frog leapt high in the air. And the little corraler said, excuse me, fella, would you like to start another square? So the old King Brown put his best foot down, and the wedge tail grabbed his feet. Then the dingo too did a spinach hand through at the square dance at Horse Creek. So the dozy do and away we go, you better get your acting gear. With a left dollar mate, then a right and left hand, and you're grinning from year to year. With a left hand there and the wrong way there, you can hop or fly or crawl. And if you got no feet, you can follow the beat as you slither around the hall. Then the kangaroo danced a curly cue, and the frog leapt high in the air. And the little corella said, excuse me, fella, would you like to start another square? So the old King Brown put his bed foot down, and the wench tail scratched his feet. Then the dingo too did the spinach hand through at the square dance at Horse Creek.
On your mob, it's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Macaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
You know about Glen Rowan, cause you had a job to do. You know about Urella, you were needed up there too. You mounted with the troopers in their uniform of blue. Like Cracker, they needed you. Though your name is never mentioned and your art is never slack, walk proud and tall among them all, gentleman of black. Cause no one knows this country any better than you do. Black Cracker, they still need you. For only you can tell if someone passed this way you see. No rugged land nor desert sand could hide the mystery. So warrior, my brother, I'm forever proud of you.
Yeah, Black Tracker, Cole Harder here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Trevor.
Yeah, go ahead, brother, go ahead. What's happening?
Well, I heard there was a terrible accident over at Yarraba. I want to send my sympathies out to the family. There's a couple of people killed over there, eh?
Yes, I heard on the grapevine as well. I don't have the full story on it, but, yeah, thinking of the mob in Yarraba, don't know the full story, but, yeah, I believe there was fatality, and thoughts are going out to the families.
Yeah, I'm just sending sympathies out. I said I've been spending, I didn't have much time on Friday, I was spending a lot of time down at Green Patch getting out of the house, and I sit down there and because it's a good place to be. And I said about the security is really bad. There's one really bad young fella down there, and he was questioning everybody and questioning me all the time. And they don't know when they're talking to me, they're talking to somebody related to the Murrays, you know. And so I'm like a spy. They don't, when they say to me, and I said, oh.
That's not nice, is it? That's his opinion.
Nice.
That's his opinion.
Sorry?
That's his opinion.
That's his opinion. Mm. But maybe that's what the council wants, because, you know, there was another couple of young fellas there, and they were... one young fella, he was questioning a couple of our lads down there, and they were just having a quiet can, and then they went there for 10 minutes. And they were calling him bro and everything, but when he went, I went over and said, what are you questioning about? And he said, oh, you know... And I said to him, you want to treat them kindly, you know, they're being really tolerant to you and calling you bro and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. And he, yeah, they chuck you in here off the deep end, and they don't give you any cultural training. You don't know who you're dealing with and how angry these people are.
Sure.
And the whole point is, all we've got in Gordonvale is that river, and it's a beautiful walk up the river to Green Rapids, but the trail bikes have got it. You know, we asked years ago that the...
Do they police it?
Well, we asked 3 years ago, I come on here, and we said we wanted the trail bikes policed. Because they were having everybody going down the river for a picnic or quiet, or drop the kids off in a car and pick them up, or take old people down. And now... So bad. That's a rent there. That's our local only thing we have in, you know, to get out of the house.
Out into the wilderness.
Which bank? The river bank, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, that's my missus's joke, you know. She said, the river bank saves people. You're stuck in the house and you want to get out, and you can't go down there. And that's terrible segregation.
Mm.
It's council of... put this
people abuse the situation, don't they? It could be a beautiful mother nature there, like you said, a beautiful stream and what have you, but they abuse the situation, don't they?
That's the river. That's all we've got, and it's terrible, and I hope other people pick up on this, because I'm trying to get back. I did that paper and other things, and I've got a camera. I'm trying to learn it, and I don't know how to use it. I just want the camera. I don't even know. They bought me this Android phone, but the young people helped me get the right phone.
Yeah.
And first thing it said, I want to make a film, and it said, the camera talks to me. I never know anything, and it said more light, so I had to go out and buy four fluoros, you know, because if you want to make a film, it's lights, camera, action. So I've got all the lights, and I'm getting ready to make this film. I'm getting back.
Well, you're getting educated, brother. You're getting educated. Good to see you.
But the main thing is, we want that riverbank open, and I hope other people can pick up on it, because I'm spending a lot of time down there, and I want the river open for all of us, and even the campers.
So is it cancelled ground, or is it state?
Well, you see, it was a gazetted rest area.
Yeah.
It was a main roads thing.
Actually, you were saying last week, a lot of the grey nomads park the caravans there and stay overnight, if not more than one night.
Everyone else stay as long as they can. There's homeless people, there's people in all sorts, there's people with kids who've got no homes, there's people come from south, there's everybody there, and we've only got this little tiny bit to go in, and you can't drive down to the river.
Yeah.
And that's the sovereignty of Gordonvale and School.
All right, brother. Major point, I'll keep moving, Tony. Thank you. That's Tony Gibbs there, having his say, talking about Gordonvale, a beautiful area. If you've never ever been there, get on down there and have a look. But like I said, it's congested at the moment, and caravans, as you mentioned, homeless people, what have you. But yeah, thoughts are going out to the lad there. I'm going to catch up with Solon online. Solon, you there? Good morning.
Yeah, brother, yeah, getting all this black male stepping up to the plate. Brother, what pisses me off is all the fathers that were the stolen generation. Brother, and some of them are very powerful people.
Yeah.
But I'm not attacking, you know, you said about history, you know, like we all have a history, but they want to cherry pick history.
Mm.
And it's not only the white man that done it to the, you know, the privileged white man done it to the black women, they done it to their own mob. And that was the time when they fathered children, and they called them children bastards. They were children out of wedlock when it was the women that had children when they was married, they were demonized, and they abandoned their kids. So, you know, this harness on us black ones stepping up, and that bully, or if you like, swearing that cartoon, brother. But yeah, I've got a lot more to say, brother. Tomorrow, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
Yeah, thank you, my brother. Too deadly. That's someone there having his say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Murray, going to sign off you, Mob. Thank you very much for your company. Great talking to you, Mob. And look, a powerful tool it is, National Talk Black. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. 24/7, you can text us, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page, BBM 987 FM. You, Mob, look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. strong. More importantly, stay safe. We need to do that. And regarding the pandemic, no vaccine for the virus. So abide by the rules, you mob. Too deadly. We'll be yarning soon. Thank you.